Where Sonia and I were going to spend the night last night, almost. Very good friends of Sonia's. And now I think of myself, too. But anyhow, Linda was told about 9 years ago that she wouldn't live another month or two. And it's because of a heart problem that could take her life at any moment. It's continually there. And that's what made me want to talk about what I've chosen to talk about tonight. To have that living over you, and her husband, who they've been together since high school, and they're my age now. What a sobering thing to live with, knowing that your heart can stop at any time. And medically, it's amazing that it hasn't. And I was thinking, you know, are we any different, really? I mean, no doctor or physician has told me that, or Sonia, or most of you, but we're not any different. Any time can be our last. James said, we don't know, we have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Our life is like a puff of smoke or a mist. It appears for a brief moment and is gone. Now, being told that you do have a physical possibility of dying at any moment, that could prove beneficial for the way you live and the way you treat others. And if we think about that reality, it will affect how we live and how we treat other people. Because that other people could be gone at any moment. And when you're with them, it could be the last time you ever talk to them. Ever. And so this got me thinking even more on the long drive home last night. Because we don't know, and we're not told when our last hour will come, we need to live always like it could be our last hour. A couple days ago, we were with a family that their baptized son, fortunately, was riding a four-wheeler and a tree was cut down by a neighbor and it killed him instantly. Broke his neck. And he was just 19. Fortunately, he was a faithful young man. But nevertheless, young people think less about the frailty of life than we do. But there's young people die just as often as older people. It's just the way the world works. And so we are, as Christians, we have to be aware of that, and we also have to be aware that once baptized, always saved is not true. You know, we often talk about once saved, always saved is just unsound thinking, but I think it's very easy to fall into the thinking that if you're baptized, you are saved, always. So it's permanent. And that's just simply not the case, unfortunately. I wish it was. The book of Hebrews speaks a lot about that. Almost one of the two themes that goes from 1st to 13th chapter is that we do not want to fall away through disobedience and unbelief. We have a Sabbath rest for us, and we expect to enter that rest. But we have to be diligent to enter that rest, lest any one of us fall through the same example of disobedience. Anybody can fall. And we need to be aware of that. Just as soberly we need to be aware that this could be our last hour, we need to be aware we're not guaranteed till we cross that finish line. And though we call this an invitation, it should be maybe We could call it something else far more serious and less polite than invitation. Maybe a warning call tonight. We're having a warning call. We're having a rescue session instead of an invitation. We need to look at that. Jude said that we have to view our life as, in his very last end of the book there, that we have to save a soul from death, even if we have to snatch them out of the fire. And James said, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns that person back, know this, that whoever turns that sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death." Now, we're talking about brethren. If any one of us should err from the truth, we have a mutual responsibility to save that person from death. So we have to be on the lookout for each other. Because despite all the things that's going on in our lives, the most important thing is making sure we all cross that finish line. Some before, some after. We want to push people toward that line. I don't mean, don't take that wrongly. But we need to make sure we all get there safely. And that's our responsibility together. We have to look out for each other. And we also have the responsibility primarily to look out for ourselves. When Paul, in both letters to the Corinthians, said, "Examine yourselves." He said, "Examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith," in 2 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 11, he also said, "Examine yourself so that you have to..." And what he means by that is we have to test ourselves and we have to prove ourselves. Because in doing so, we will make sure that we're still in the race and that we're worthy to cross that finish line. We have to look at ourselves to inspect our personal piety, to make sure that we are clean or holy people, to make sure that we are have not become unclean through the daily problems of sin in life. We have to examine our words and our thoughts and our deeds, because we will be judged by every idle word that we speak. So we want to contemplate, how have we been using our tongue? What have we been thinking about? We have to examine ourselves for that. And it does one well to pause during our life to do this. We have to pause, take a stock of ourselves. Have we been living up to the standards that we vowed we would live up to? That is a holy life. That is to live like Jesus. We have to help each other, but our first responsibility is to ourselves. And every one of us has to think about ourselves so that we can be approved, so that we can take part in our worship services, the Lord's Supper. We have to judge ourselves so that the Lord doesn't have to judge us. Because if we judge ourselves, we are not going to be judged. In the first, in the letter to the Corinthians, those who were not judging themselves, some were ill, some slept, which means dead. ESV translated, some of you are ill, some of you are weak, and some of you have died, because they did not judge themselves. And it's far better to judge ourselves than to have leave it to the Lord to judge us, because we're not doing it. I believe I've been judged by the Lord in my past, and I didn't like it. When God disciplines us, you never forget it. Never. So let's judge ourselves. Let's take the opportunity to do that. Let's do it. We don't have to do it just only now during the invitation. We should do it every day. How did I do today before we fall asleep? Am I approved? Did I pass the test? Did God say, "I passed the test today," before we go to sleep? You don't know unless you stop and pause in our busy lives and think about what's the most important. We have to stay approved of God. And we can only do that through active effort. an honest self-examination. So if there's anyone here that has done this and might consider themselves perhaps unapproved and would like prayers, because in the effort to stand approved before the Lord, you think you need the help of your brothers and sisters to pray for you. Because James, when he talked about our lives, he said it was right after the effective, fervent prayer of righteous people avails much. And so we need to pray for each other, because that is the context of these effectual, fervent prayers. That we can need to pray for ourselves, but we have a family that can add to that voice and make a change in our life that can save our life. Because that's all that really matters in the end. That is it. If you look back on your life from the final moment of your life, all of a sudden it'll become clear what's most important. Everything else will fade away.